Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would, grab a hymn book and stand. Let's turn to page 337. 337. We're going to sing the first, third, and fifth verse. 1, 3, and 5. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the third, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share. Our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. I was thinking that it's an amazing thing what trusting the Lord does. In our trust, we obey Him, and what comes along with that? Ah, that joy of the Lord, that joy that goes along with it. There's no other way, huh? Well, it's good to be together this morning. We're thankful for God's mercies to us. I did want to mention that next Sunday morning we will be having baptism in conjunction with the morning service. And we have several that are in need of baptism, so we're looking forward to that. Always, it's a lot of fun to have a baptism service. It says that God's doing things when we have those that need to be baptized. It's good to see you, each and every one. We're thankful for the visitors that God sent our way today. Church family, as you mingle here in a moment, make sure you get around to our visitors and say hello. So let's do that right now. Let's welcome each other in the Lord.
If you'll return back to your seats, let's also turn to page 400 and something. 433. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. On the last, I have a home prepared for me since I have been redeemed, where I shall dwell eternally since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in His name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name.
You can be seated. Please stand with us once more, and let's turn to page 356. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the mortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love. On the last, wonderful story of love, Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above me with those who've gone on before me, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love. Amen. You can be seated.
Man, please come forth for the offering. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see all of you. Good to be here at Metropolitan Visitors. Good to see you. Announcements. All are welcome to stay today for the fifth Sunday meal after the AM service. The church is providing chicken. The shepherds and the Hudsons have a new letter in the back. Please stop by and pick one up. Ladies, please reserve by next Thursday, August the 2nd, for the Royal Sea Ranch Ladies Retreat in Oklahoma. $35 is due next Sunday, August 5th. See Ms. Marsha for details or questions. Become a volunteer. AM Nursery greeters, prayer warriors are needed for anyone who wants to volunteer. And I believe a choir are needed. Friday night fellowship, August the 3rd, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. In the gym here at Metropolitan. Please bring snack if you'd like for your family. We had a couple of Fridays ago. It was a blessed time. We had good fellowship. I got to show off my skills in basketball. You guys that were there, you know my skills. Sorry, Daniel. Youth group activity Friday, August the 10th, at 11:30 to 2:30 at Cowtown Bowling. It's going to be $12.50 for each person that wants to come. Families are welcome to come if you want. We do need to make reservations by Tuesday the 31st. We need a 1 week's notice. 1 week. And a premier class party Sunday, August the 12th at 12:30 to 2:30. Kids bring towel and money for lunch. See Ms. Sherry for details. Home builders activity tomorrow at 3 p.m. Wall builders in Alito, $5 per person if you want to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this blessed day, Lord, another day here to worship you, Father God, at Metropolitan. I do pray for our pastor and just pray that you be with him, Lord, as he preaches your word. I pray that if there be any, Lord, lost today, Lord, without Christ, I pray that they come to that knowledge of who he is today, Lord. And Father, we just thank you and give you the praise for all that you do. We pray that you bless the offering. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Jesus' fair was pierced by thorns grown from the fall. Thus he who gave the curse was torn, to end that curse for all. My Jesus meek was scorned by men in blasphemy. Father, forgive their senseless sin. He prayed for them, for me. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for man. With joyful grief I live my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only Him. My Jesus kind was torn by nails of cruel men, and to His cross has grace prevailed. God bend my wretched sin.
My Jesus pure was crushed by God in judgment just. The Father grieved, yet turned His rod on Christ, made sin for us.
O Thou divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for man. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only Him. My Jesus strong shall come to reign, to reign in majesty. The Lamb arose and death is slain. Lord, come in victory. O love divine, O matchless grace, that God should die for man. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only Him.
Beautiful. We'll be turning this morning to Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark. I'm just thankful to be able to go to church. Be someplace where Jesus is still magnified, where His Word is center, and His worship is glorifying to Him. If you find your place in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, please stand with me. We give reverence to God's Word. I'll be reading a familiar passage, praying that the Lord would allow us to maybe see it from a bit of a different perspective today. But begin reading in verse 46. It says, "And they," Jesus and His disciples, "came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Father, once again, we We're so thankful, so grateful for your word. We're thankful to be able to be in a place where it's still important to open the book, open your book, to hear from you. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, these dear folk aren't gathered here today to hear from some preacher. They need to hear from you, Father. And so I pray that you'd clear all the clutter, focus our attention upon you and your word. We ask, Lord, that Jesus would be magnified, that he and he alone would be exalted, and that this day your word would have its way in our hearts, every heart, Father, starting right here behind this desk. Lord, do in each of our lives, drawing those savingly to yourself that need Christ, but also that each of us might go from this place being able to declare that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Jesus' earthly ministry, without question, was truly amazing. So amazing that it's hard to understand why everyone that came in contact with him or ever heard him or saw any of his works didn't follow him. They didn't follow him. But, beloved, doesn't matter who you are, if you don't have the proper eyesight, you don't have that sight to see who Jesus is, you'll not recognize him and see any need of following him. In the passage here before us today, we learn of a blind man. We learn of this blind man who receives sight to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus. Might the Lord grant that sight today. So we look back in the 32nd verse of John, of Mark chapter 10. In the 32nd verse it says, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him." In that verse, we see that Jesus is now making his way, really their final trip to Jerusalem together. And our passage that we look at here takes us, as we see, outside the city of Jericho, would be probably on that westward road that would head towards Jerusalem. We understand that the Jericho was an ancient city going back to the time when the Israelites, the Jews, had crossed the Jordan River, under the leadership of Joshua. And as they crossed into that promised land given to them by God, they still had to take possession of the land. It was theirs that was deeded to them, but they had to possess it. And so as they crossed Jordan, the first battle that they had to deal with, they had to be engaged in, was against this city of Jericho. It was a fortress of a city. And it was defeated, if you remember, in a very extraordinary way. Israel was instructed by the captain of the host, the Lord himself, to for 6 days to compass the city quietly. They were to march around the entire city and return to their camp. Well, on the seventh day, their instructions were, if you remember, to march 7 times around the city. But on that 7th time, they were to blow their trumpets. The priests, I should say, would blow their trumpets and the walls would come tumbling down. And indeed, they did. And so the city was taken easily by the forces of Israel. Afterwards, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, under God's direction, Joshua pronounced a curse upon Jericho. We read in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 24, It says, and Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates thereof. Wow. The prophecy played out exactly as it was given through Joshua. The city laid in ruins for 500 years. And then, in the days of wicked old King Ahab, we read this in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34. It says, in his days, or in Ahab's days, did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. Listen. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun. We look at all that just that we might have a bit of background, a little understanding about the city. It's really, the city itself doesn't play a big part in our story here, but on the day of our current passage, in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, Jesus had arrived in Jericho. Doesn't seem like he spent any time there at all. He's passing through on his way to Jerusalem. Now, the two cities, Jericho and Jerusalem, were only about 15 miles apart. It's really hard to grasp that unless you've actually been there and you realize that Jericho is 800 feet below sea level. And you make the 3,300-foot climb to Jerusalem, which is 2,500 feet above sea level. Now, be mindful. How was the Lord Jesus going to get to Jerusalem? The old-fashioned way. He'd be walking. They would walk that 15 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. Well, on this day, Jesus is passing through Jericho, and he has another divine appointment to keep just outside the city with a very, we might think, rather unlikely person, an unlikely individual. And so with that, we see the plight of this man Bartimaeus. There in verse 46 of our passage, it says, they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Obviously, we're told that this man is blind, and also that he's the son of Timaeus. In fact, that when you see that prefix B-A-R in front of a man's name, it simply means son, and it would speak of him being the son of, and in this case, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And so as we might even consider this name Timaeus, the name itself, Bartimaeus' father's name meant to be valued or to, in some sense, honored. Now, I don't know what Timaeus' occupation was, but by his very name, it tells us that he was a valued member of the community there in the city of Jericho. Now, by the time that we read here in Mark chapter 10, it's quite likely that Timaeus is off the scene at the time of the encounter of Jesus with his son. But I think it's worth noting that this man, this blind man, came from a valued family but is now reduced. He's reduced to begging in order to survive. We also see that this beggar is sitting by the highway on this particular day. Matthew's account of the same instance says that there were two men there begging. Luke mentions says one, but doesn't give us Bartimaeus' name. But Mark focuses in on this one man, on Bartimaeus, giving us his name. Maybe Mark was in some way familiar with the family, but he mentions Bartimaeus' name. Well, in reality, there were probably many folks sitting there outside the gate begging. It would be a very advantageous place to be. That road from Jericho up to Jerusalem would have been a well-traveled road during the day. Wouldn't be safe at night. You wouldn't want to be caught on that roadway at night. There were many bandits and even wild animals that could cause danger and harm. But during the day, it would be a busy place. And so it wouldn't be unusual at all to not only find Bartimaeus and whoever was with him, but many others there begging and others that would be there to sell this and that to those who were passing by. It would have been a rather busy place. Because of Bartimaeus' occupation, if we can say it that, we see him making this plea. This plea in verse 47 and 48, it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, a son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, as we look at this, Begging as the word describes. A beggar does what? He begs. Begging as the word describes involves the plea, the seeking of the sympathy of others, the compassion of others, and surviving as a beggar required a persistent seeking of other people's pity. It's how Bartimaeus, it's how others like him survived from day to day. In this day, Bartimaeus hears the crowd come close, and he heard that it was Jesus. He heard it was Jesus, and he cries out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Well, the construction of the words here, the construction itself tells us that Bartimaeus wasn't satisfied with just calling out once to the Lord Jesus. No, the idea is that he was continually calling out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," and repeated and repeated and repeated it. Well, we see that the dear folks around him told him that you need to be quiet. Well, he wasn't going to have any of that. Well, essentially, the words that the crowd said, they just told him to shut up. "Hold your peace, Bartimaeus." Well, we see not only Bartimaeus' initial plea for mercy, but we also see a very insistent plea for mercy. As we said, everybody around him, what a nice folks they were, told him to be quiet. Bartimaeus was not going to be satisfied. He was not going to be quieted. He was not going to miss the opportunity to get help from the only person that he believed could do something for him. The only one that could show him the mercy that he so desperately needed. Now Bartimaeus is screaming as loud as he could. He's raised his voice to a screaming level. Give attention to the words of verse 48. It says, "He cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus was not going to be ignored. Let it sink in. Bartimaeus was not going to be ignored. He's now shouting with everything that his voice could muster. As we said earlier, how did he make his living? As a beggar. He was quite adverse at spending all day long sitting there by the wayside begging, seeking the help, seeking the mercy of those that would pass by. Now, two thoughts. What if Bartimaeus had given heed to those who told him to be quiet? What if he had just shut up? Second thought, what if he had not continued to cry out? We understand, do we not? There's one answer to both those questions. Bartimaeus would have remained blind. He'd have remained blind. Just a question for us. Do you need God's mercy? Bartimaeus was in a great need of God's mercy. He was accustomed to pleading for people's mercy. But on this day, there was one that could not only make a temporal difference, not only one that could show some mercy so he could buy his supper, but one that could change his entire life. As I was praying about this yesterday, every single one of us in this room have times we need God's mercy. Started with our salvation. We needed the mercy of God. But it doesn't stop there. We need God's mercy all along the way, do we not? Amen. And the lesson to learn from Bartimaeus here, if he'd allowed the folks around him to have their way, if he'd have given heed to their words to tell him to be quiet, if he'd have given up on getting Jesus' attention, he'd probably been blind the rest of his life. But he didn't give up. He didn't give in to those around him. And he didn't give up. He continued to seek God's mercy. God's mercy. Might we do the same? Might Bartimaeus be a lesson to us? We see also the possibility here for Bartimaeus. The possibility, you know, in verse 49 says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Well, Jesus, as we see, is passing by, coming out of the city with a large following. His disciples are with him, as we've already read, but the simple words there of verse 46, it says he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. There was a crowd surrounding Jesus. Who knows? As he came into the city, and I'm sure you know this one coming with his disciples drew the attention and the recognition was made of who and what it was, who and what this person was. And the crowds gathered. The crowds were flocking around him. Now the road is crowded as they're leaving the city. There are many, many people gathered around Jesus and chattering, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a hubbub of talking going on, and what might happen next, and what's Jesus going to do, and different ones asking him this and asking him that. With all this going on, Jesus hears the desperate cries of Bartimaeus. One in the crowd. Let your mind think about that. I mean, one in the crowd. You ever been in a crowd where there's just people everywhere, all around you? And what's going on? Everybody's talking to the person next to them. There's this going, the noise of everything that's taking place. And Bartimaeus is out in the background, and he's calling out, screaming, if you will. And Jesus, over all the others, hears Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. Tells me that Jesus has an ear for those who need him. His ear is open to those who would cry out to him for his mercy. Wow. There's some very beautiful words here. When I read them, the other day, I just had to stop. Hopefully they'll mean something to you. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. Can you imagine it? Again, I'm sorry. My mind always, as I think about these things that are going on, I picture that crowd. Again, Jesus is just walking along, and Peter, James, John, the other disciples are there with him, probably trailing along, and then the crowd is there. And the cry of this blind man over on the side, and everything stops. When Jesus stopped, what's going to happen? Everybody else is going to stop. And Jesus stood still. Wow. Imagine from Bartimaeus's place. Imagine he's over on the side of the road there. The crowd is all surrounding Jesus. I don't know exactly what it would have looked like, but just at the place where it would go out of the city, would probably think it's a pretty broad place there. Bartimaeus is sitting there on the side of the road. He can hear the commotion. He can hear the commotion coming and discover from the hubbub that it was the miracle-working Jesus of Nazareth. And he's coming toward you. He's coming your way. Now, you're blind. You're blind, so you cannot see through the crowd. You cannot see the crowd that separates you from him. But you're screaming. You're screaming as loud and as hard as you can to try to get this healer's attention. And he hears you. Now let's think about this. He hears you, but you don't even realize it yet. The crowd stops. I'm imagining Bartimaeus is still letting loose with his cries. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd's already stopped. Jesus stood still. And he's about to give instruction concerning this man. Wow. Jesus, it says, stops, and he calls out that this man would be brought to him. Now suddenly the crowd has a change of heart. Did you notice that in the passage? They say, now be of good comfort in verse 49. Rise, he calleth thee. The same ones that were trying to shut him up a moment ago. So the nature of crowds, isn't it? Now they're encouraging Bartimaeus. Now, regardless of the crowd spirit, to hear that Jesus is calling him, to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling for him, excites him. So how do you know that, preacher? How do you know that it excited Bartimaeus? Well, by what he does. By what he does. How do you know? Because he casts aside his garment. Verse 50. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, that garment was very important to Bartimaeus. It was an important tool for a beggar. He would have been sitting there by the roadside, and he would take his garment off his shoulders and spread it out in front of him. And as he would cry out for the mercy of all the folks that were going by, they would toss a coin his way, and then it would land on that garment. But now we see, as Bartimaeus realizes or finds out that Jesus is calling him, what's he do? Notice the exact words. It says, he casting away his garment. My thinking as I read that, it's almost like he's throwing the whole thing away. Casting it away. Casting it aside to the very least. Wow. Why? Again, I don't want to put something in a passage that's not there. But Bartimaeus now has the anticipation, if you will, that he's not going to need a beggar's garment anymore. He casts it away in the hope and the anticipation that Jesus was going to do something for him. And beloved, if he received what he was about to ask for, he wouldn't need that silly garment anymore. Jesus asks him. Jesus questions him in verse 51. He answered and said unto him, notice how it's worded, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Huh? Of course, we're talking about God here. Jesus knows exactly what's going on. He knows what Bartimaeus' need is. But Bartimaeus, what would you have me to do unto thee? And of course, Bartimaeus' obvious answer. The blind man, notice, it didn't say Bartimaeus. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Wow. That I might receive my sight. Well, with the question comes the answer. Now we see here the potential for Bartimaeus, the potential for the blind beggar, the potential for Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus. Well, let me read verse 52 first, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Wow. The potential. How long was Bartimaeus blind? We really have no idea. We don't know if he was born blind. We don't know if he had some eye disease or an accident that made him blind. Be mindful. Wow. Be mindful of how many people in this auditorium right now would be blind or nearly blind if it wasn't for the advances, the medical procedures, what these lenses do for us. Blindness was a very common thing in the first century. So much that we take for granted now would have resulted in blindness for these ones. And this one, once without sight, as the passage says, is made whole. Once without sight, was made whole. Bartimaeus sees. What's the first thing he sees? Jesus. It's got to be. The first thing that this man saw when he was made whole was Jesus. Wow. He saw the face of the one who made him whole. Once blind, now he can see to follow Jesus. I don't know how much to make of this. I believe that, as the Bible says, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe that every word of the Bible is inspired. And so when I look at these words of verse 52, I've got to take note of them. Notice what it says. Jesus says to him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then the next word, immediately. Immediately, right now, Bartimaeus receives his sight. But then what's it say? After receiving his sight, did Bartimaeus go his way? Doesn't say that, does it? No. Mark tells us that he followed Jesus in the way. Now, we don't hear anything more about Bartimaeus in the Scriptures. We can't check up on what happened to him a year or two later. We don't know anything more about Bartimaeus beyond the details of this day. But instead of going his own way, the Bible tells us that he followed Jesus. I'm one of those folks that I take what the Bible says literally. Says he followed Jesus. That would mean, beloved, that would mean, as I read these words, that Bartimaeus was there with his brand new eyesight to see Jesus when he arrived at Jerusalem. It would mean that Bartimaeus, following Jesus, had the great privilege. Could you imagine how excited he was to see Jesus ride into the city of Jerusalem in what we call that triumphal entry? He would see the events of that last week of Jesus' life. He'd witness him as he was daily preaching in the temple, Bartimaeus. Would have seen Jesus hanging on Calvary's cross. Bartimaeus would have seen this one who had shown him mercy die to provide his salvation. I like what Luke's account of this same event. It says that Jesus told him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." Indeed. You know, beloved, a personal testimony. I wasn't physically blind when God saved me. But I sure was spiritually blind. Huh? I sure was blind spiritually. And when God turned on, if I could say it this way, I don't want it to sound wrong, but when God turned on the spiritual lights, and saved me. I hope you can say this too. All I wanted to do was follow him. Why would we want to go our own way when this one, the only one, that could show us the greatest mercy that we could ever receive. Why would we ever want to go back to our own way when we could follow him? Yes, there were triumphs in that week to come. There was in many ways, in our eyes, there was tragedy to see that the Son of Man, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, would be so cruelly treated and awfully murdered. And yet we understand, as we would see, as we would consider that cross, it's why we're here today. It's why we're here today. Amen. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before you. Well, I just want to thank you for Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for what he did for Bartimaeus. I want to thank you for what he does for us today. I want to thank you for that beautiful, miraculous mercy. Lord, I'm thankful. There were once we were blind, now we see. Once we were in bondage to the darkness of sin, but now we've received the glorious light, the Son of God. Lord, please, oh Lord, please help us to live for your glory. We'd follow you faithfully. And Lord, I pray, I don't know the spiritual condition of folks in this room today, but Lord, whatever the need might be, Lord, there may well be some here today that need that mercy, that beautiful initial mercy of God granting them that sight that they might see him in his saving, life-changing power. Oh God, please deal with hearts, deal with lives, deal with me, Lord, today. We'd fall all the deeper in love with this wonderful, wonderful Savior. It's in His name and for His glory that we do pray. Amen and amen. Brother John, do you have a song for us?
Page 160.
We sing, Beloved, please just obey the Lord. I don't make a practice of begging folks to do things. But if I was a beggar today, I'd beg you, please obey the Lord. Follow Him. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you need Jesus today? Do you need His forgiveness, His cleansing, His healing? Do you need Him to make you whole? Whosoever, it said, right, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we sing, please, please obey the Lord.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
You can be seated for just a moment, except for you and you. Amen. Well, we've had several young folks that got saved, some during camp, and even a couple before that. And Dylan Klontz came to me a few weeks ago, and he said, and you know, he's so talkative, if you know Dylan. And so he came up and he said he had to tell me something. I said, man, what's going on in Dylan? And anyways, he proceeded to tell me that he'd got saved. He'd asked the Lord to save him. And so, Dylan, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Amen. And this is Anthony De Leon. And Anthony, you were saved at camp this year, right?
Yes.
And so Anthony's doing the same. He's come this morning to present himself for baptism, and of course become part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And it was a week or so ago that both Carter and Ella McMullen did the same thing. And so we've got four, and Miss Kristen also was saved at camp. And so we're excited about all that. We're thankful for church camp. Our young people get away from the craziness of the world and the Lord has that opportunity to deal and work in their lives. Well, church, on these young men's profession of faith and their desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and become part of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Can I have an amen from our church family accepting them into the fellowship of the church? All pose the same sign and so ordered. And so next Sunday, we'll be having baptism in the morning service. Amen? All right. Thank you, guys. And moms, you got a sister over here. You think she'd come stand with you too? Because you got to stand here and the church is going to come by and welcome you all now into the church family. All right? Can you handle that? I mean, he just wears me out talking so much. Both of them. All right, let's stand together, church. And you guys can stand right here. How about that? And come this way, okay? And through those doors, the chicken awaits. Come on.
Let's sing our chorus, and then we'll have a word of prayer.
Tara.
At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was grace, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and this this wonderful time that we can fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to hear your word, Lord. We just pray that you'll continue to bless the day, bless this time of fellowship, and the service this afternoon as well. May your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.